Blog Talk Radio.
Well, praise the Lord, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio. My name is Pastor Steve Lee, and I'll be your host for the next hour or so. So if you would, go ahead and get some pencil and paper and take notes. And if you have any questions or comments after the ministry, I'll give you an opportunity to ask them so that we can all grow thereby. So if you would, just join your heart with me as we pray and go before the Father and get into the Word for today. Father, I ask you to speak to me so that I can hear. Awaken me the mind of Christ. Open my eyes that I might behold wondrous things out of your word. Breathe on me so that I can speak. Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. Flow through me and cause me to move by your spirit. Let healing and deliverance break forth in this place, in this time, because of your word, your spirit, and your love. Live big in me. I now decrease so that you can increase. Holy Spirit, glorify Jesus in my life as I now share the living word, the bread of life. Jesus, reveal to us the Father and draw us into his presence where there is fullness of joy. Heavenly Father, quiet our hearts and minds as we allow the peace of God to rule in our lives. Cause us to grow in the grace that has appeared unto all men as you teach us how we should live in this present world. May we now awake to righteousness and slumber no more by walking in the Spirit in the fullness of his grace as we sojourn in the land of promise, going from faith to faith and from glory to glory, For you've made us more than conquerors in this life through Christ Jesus. So speak to our spirit and birth victory in our hearts and in our minds. In Jesus' name, I pray. Well, beloved, today we want to get back into the flow of his glory, which will be part three, so that we can begin to do what's necessary to bring all of the confusion that's surrounding us to an end. You know, we are the ones that have been granted the power to bind, loose, stop, start, declare, decree. We've been given that power. But a lot of times, we haven't understood how to flow in his glory. And we want to kind of dig into that, because if you don't believe that that's something that you should participate in, how can we wrap this whole thing up? Because Jesus is seated, the Bible says, until his enemies be made his footstool. After making the declaration that it's finished, then he gave us an assignment. He told us in Matthew 28:18-19, he told us to go into all powers that are given unto me in heaven and in earth. Therefore, because of this, you go. He just gave us the power. He says that what you do with the power is you teach, you baptize, you make disciples, and he said specifically of all men. That tells me, okay, that he's interested in us fulfilling our job so that his children can come home. The ones he created that the devil has deceived, that the devil is causing injury to make them stop moving into the areas and arenas that we should be going in. We're supposed to make disciples. We're supposed to immerse them in the word. See? We're supposed to go to all the nations. So then I would ask questions, have we done that? And if you think the answer is, well, we did this more than them, that doesn't get us to the end. The Bible tells us they that compare themselves or by themselves are not wise. So notice he said, go ye. He did not say in that scripture, go Baptist, go Methodist. He didn't say, go Presbyterian. He didn't say, go Kojic. He said, go ye. That means anybody that's reading, hearing, and coming to the light of his glorious gospel. We need to wrap this thing up. And it seems that we've been caught up in the chaos rather than doing what he told us to do. We get caught up in who we like and who we don't like, who we can listen to and who we won't listen to. Forget that Jesus has made them our brother. Forget that God has adopted them in the family. Just because I don't like the way they worship openly when I want to worship in a manner that's decent and fitting, I'm not going to be one that's jumping all over the floor, running all around the room. I'm part of God's chosen frozen. So, see, because they don't do what I do, they don't do what I like, I'm not going to associate with them. Really? That's your family member. And you know, it's interesting, in God's family, he didn't even bother to have cousins. I'm sorry. Amen. He has mothers, fathers, sister, brother in the body of Christ. Amen. Why? Because he wants you closer as a family, a close-knit family. You don't have distant cousins according to the scripture. Okay? And I mean, I know sometimes, you know, that's the way we operate, because we want them to stay in their place so that we can enjoy our place. Oh, that's not getting, that's not what God sent us here for. He sent us the directions that he gave, okay, just so that I can hear it, okay? If you just turn over there with me to Matthew chapter 28, and let's just see if that's what he said, okay? Let's just see what he said. Again, I like to do it his way, okay? Because when I do Bible things, I get Bible results. When I do Bible things, I enjoy Bible victory, okay? So then I got to go and make sure that that which he asked me to do, is requiring me to do, is what I do. Let's look at this from Matthew chapter 28, verse 18. And like I say, I want you to see it. I don't want you to just hear it and say, that sounded good. Let's find it. Because when I find it, I can go back to it. When I go back to it, I can then ingest more of what was stated in there for me. All I'm doing is putting before you a spread of the Word of God. It's up to you to desire it. He said that the first thing you have to do, is that you have to desire the Word as the sincere milk of the Word. Because you're going to grow by that. Look at this. Verse 18. It says that Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. So because it has been given, go ye therefore, teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Wow. I mean, we could say that because we have had a doctrinal split over this one verse when he told us to go. Somebody help me. The man told us to go, and we started dividing ourselves, not going. We stood and argued and fussed and divided ourselves on how we're supposed to go. They weren't baptized in the name of Jesus. Lord Jesus, please hear, just so that you can read what I read. Okay. He said, go and teach. Okay. Lord Jesus, look at this. I'm just reading it the way it's written. Notice the first thing out the chute was teaching. The first thing out the chute was not baptizing, was it? I am not negating the function of it. I'm just trying to see why we made that a place of division. When he said, go ye and go this way. And here we are, almost over 2,000 years later, still not having gone, because we're trying to see how to baptize. When it wasn't the first one out the chute. First one out the chute. Teach all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father. In the name, okay, the word and, we're going to talk about that later. The word and is a conjunction, isn't it? It's not exclusive, therefore, is it? It means this plus that. This and also that. Is that correct? According to the way we understand the English language, it didn't mean one without the other. He said, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So the name of the Father, the name of the Son, and the name of the Holy Ghost. You can say, since God is love, we can baptize them in the name of love. Amen. But we have rather put points of contention and division in that. See? Not even doing what he said yet. Ain't taught nobody. The only thing that we just taught them is how to live in division. How to create multiple bodies when there's only one body. That's not how we do it. Well, what did he say? It's in red. This ain't even no question. This is in red. I mean, Jesus himself said this. So I didn't see one time that he said here that we're supposed to enjoy, like, be comfortable with. I don't see that in this scripture. He said, teach them. Then you want to hear this. He said, okay, if he says something twice, then it would be wise for us to listen at what he said. Because he's the one that said that you're going to do give an account for every word that proceeds out of your mouth. Okay? So then he's not mincing his words. He's not wasting his words. So if he repeats it, it must be important, huh? Listen at it again. Go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Teaching, again, teaching them to observe whatsoever things I commanded you. For lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the world. Wait a minute. He said, teach them to observe all things. So here we go with our hair-splitting self. Well, I'm trying to get them to observe the name of the Father, the name of the Son, the name of the Holy Ghost. Okay, wait a minute. Did he tell you to observe all things? Well, one of the things that he told you to do is he told you to love one another. Isn't that one of the things that he told you to do? He told you to forgive if you have aught against any. Isn't that one of the things he told you to do? One of the things he wants you to observe? Amen. See, so if you're going to do one thing and exclude another thing, then we're not doing what he told us to do. He said, observe to do, I don't know, maybe you should circle the thing when he says, teaching them to observe all. That little bit of word, that all. He didn't say, teach them to observe particular things. He said, teach them to observe all. In other words, he would say to us, I need for you to expand your understanding and bring that understanding into your life so that you can observe to do it. He did not tell us to observe to argue about it. Help me out, please. He said, see how to do it. Teach them how to see how to do it. See? So then we'll go there since we have these points of contention. If they are not doing it, teach them how to see, observe how to do it. Don't teach them how to observe what they're doing wrong. That's not what he told you to do. And I hear all the time in the body of Christ, the points of contention and division starting with, that's not how we don't believe like that. We don't observe like that. They do, we don't, which causes a division, which causes a strife. And where there is envy and strife, there is confusion and every evil work. I don't even know how we would say that we're doing the work of the Lord now if we are allowing envy and strife to enter in so that confusion and every evil work would follow. See, we're trying to learn how to flow in his glory. One of the things that I know about his glory is his glory is not divided. Okay? The Bible says in 1 John that there are three that bear record, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three agree as one. See? That there is no place for that. But we continue to cause strife in what we think is important to us when he just told us the thing that was important to him was teach them how to see how to do what's written therein. Okay, I'm just a little bit stronger. He said, teach them to observe to do what I commanded you to do. Okay, just so that I get it. This thing about how we, okay, come on. Y'all know these things are real. See, we baptize, we just sprinkle. And then the way we baptize is we immerse. See, here we are not doing what he said. He said teach so that they would see. He didn't say teach so that you can demand that they do. Did I misrepresent the scripture there? He said teach so that they can observe to do. I mean, here's something that would be good in that respect, that if you teach that they can observe to do, then God will confirm the word that you're teaching with signs following. Is that not what he said? This is all part of when he was leaving here. That's what he said. This is how the book of Matthew recorded it. In the book of Mark, okay, come on. Mark chapter 16. Okay? Just so that you can see, all of this is one teaching. See? I'm teaching you so that you can observe to do it. Watch this. Verse 15 of chapter 16 of the book of Mark. And he said unto them, go into all the world. So just so that you know, this is the same time frame, teaching, experience that Matthew was recording in chapter 28, okay? He said, go into all the world. Preach the gospel to every creature. Notice this. Oh, Jesus, this is just good. These are just the parenthetical places that I'm going to. I was not trying to start with this, but it's right there. It helps us to eliminate. We're going to go to the place where its glory flows, where you're going to have to get rid of the division. Okay? He said now, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Did he say he that you make believe? No. The one that you argue with until you beat him down? No. He said, because the Bible asks us this question, he said, do you have faith? If you do, have it to yourself before God. See, he's not interested in puppets, beloved. You are going to be conformed into the image of Christ Jesus. And the image of Christ Jesus, the Bible says, wow, the Bible says that he is upholding everything by his word. He was the express image of God who is upholding all things by his word. So if you're going to be converted into the image of Christ Jesus, you will have more emphasis on protecting the word than your reputation and the way you get things done. Amen. See, because the Bible says about Jesus, you want to be conformed to this image, he made no reputation for himself. So then there's no way he can tell you doing something wrong because you ain't doing it the way he did. You see what I'm saying? That would be making a reputation for himself, wouldn't it? And he said he didn't go about doing that. He simply went about doing good, setting people free that were oppressed. He didn't go around arguing. He did make mention of what we should do, and then he moved on. The Bible says that he was in the midst of them, and he could there do no mighty work because of their unbelief. Wait a minute. Was he still there? Well, how come he didn't do a mighty work? It wasn't because he didn't want to. It was because he said, they don't want this. Goodbye. See, I didn't get mad. He that believes and is baptized. Not he that is coerced. He that is shamed, you know, See, the things that we did in the body, the things that we did in the church, are the things that we see manifest in the world because we trained them. We trained them to fight, to fuss, to divide. Because the first church, the Holy Ghost dealt with that real quick. Because whenever there was division, the Holy Ghost showed up and said, okay, no. We are going to be one here. And he would write letters to them and show them examples of how they're not supposed to do that. When Jesus was here and they asked the question of him, who's going to be the greatest? And Jesus said, this is not the way it's supposed to be done in this kingdom. He said, the people of the world, the people that you're used to hanging with, they're the ones that do that. That's not the way it happens here. If you're going to be great in the kingdom, you have to be, ready for this, servant of all. What does that mean? That you're going to have to teach them to observe. Not demand that they observe. Teach them. Serve them. They will know that you are my disciples because you have love one for another. Because you cover anything you see that would be called a mistake. You don't expose it. They don't believe like we believe. That would be exposing it. But to cover it, you will take truth and let truth be established. Why would you do that? Let's keep on reading here. He that believes and is baptized is saved, and he that believeth not, you ain't got to worry about him. You ain't got to worry about him. Will be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. I mean, he gave us enough things to do here, laying hands on sick, teaching people. If we would do that, we would eliminate all of the frustration that people see in the body of Christ when they see us not operating as one. We're supposed to be able to lay hands on the sick and they recover. But people will do exactly what happened in Jesus' day. The people brought the children to the disciples for the disciples to heal them, and they couldn't. Y'all remember that? We brought them to your disciples, and your disciples couldn't do nothing. Can you do something, Jesus? And Jesus said, how long has it been like this? The kid was thrown into the fire and was convulsing. And he said, oh, help me. Help me. I don't know what to do. Do you believe? Yeah, help my unbelief. Wait a minute. He said, do what to my unbelief? Help it. Did he say to Jesus, expose my unbelief? Because after all, we didn't do it like you do it, Jesus. He didn't never tell the man, expose my unbelief. He asked Jesus, would you help my unbelief? Teach me so that I can, that's how you help someone's unbelief. You don't make demands to cause them to think that you're going to help their unbelief. You just teach them. And if you say it 12 times, it doesn't matter. If they are interested in learning, he that is a heretic after the second and third admonition, I know that. He's not interested in learning. Not a problem. But when they come back and say, you know what, I've been trying to do this, and I don't see how to do it. I don't understand. Well, teach them how to observe. See? Continue to work with them. Paul said, this is the third letter. How large a letter I've written unto you. This is the third time that I've written. And it's not grievous for me to write the same things to you again. See? So that would be teaching, wouldn't it? That would be following the scripture, upholding the integrity of the word, instead of demanding that you convert to my denominational viewpoint, my doctrinal understanding. See, we've been doing things a little bit backwards, and the fruit of it is evident, because when the disciples did what he said, there was added to the church in one day 3,000, in another day 5,000. Oh, let's just ask the questions. Come on now. We're in this COVID situation, and where you can't know who's going to be a part of the work of God that they're supposed to be with, because they come in and visit and go out, because they're not accountable to anybody. You just go with whatever feels good for the day. I understand that's the training that we had, but that's not the Bible way of doing things. Why is that? Watch, keep on. Just trying to get you to this point. I haven't even got to the scripture that brought me here. And then verse 19, the Lord, after he had spoken these things, was received up to heaven and set on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. So that if you were to, all these arguments about how to baptize, Jesus said that he went with them, working with them everywhere that they went. Come on, y'all. Come on. That's what he said. And they went forth and preached everywhere. Circle it. Underline it. Because everywhere is where Jesus went and confirmed the word. So then I would just submit to you, if the word is not being confirmed where you are, just go to the next place, because Jesus confirms his word everywhere. Hallelujah. See? So then you go and you say, well, we sprinkle. Was there a confirmation of the baptism from the sprinkle? Because Jesus is going to confirm his word. Go baptize. He's going to confirm that word with signs following. He didn't enumerate what the signs were. He just said that he would cause them to be confirmed. Well, as soon as they did that, they received the Holy Ghost. That's one way. What about as soon as they received this, they were made whole? Because Jesus went about doing good, healing all that were sick, all that were oppressed of the devil. That would be a sign following, wouldn't it? Amen. To walk in repentance and integrity would be a sign following, wouldn't it? See, I don't have to bring it to my doctrinal preferences. That's basically what we did. See, we didn't understand that it's the flow of glory. It's not a flow of preference. And so that we can get glory, since I said that, glory grows in intensity, in execution. Glory goes from glory to glory. Takes you to a deeper, more stable revelation. A more stable demonstration of his power. That's what Paul learned. He didn't say, I don't come at you with alluring words and hype that man's wisdom produces. I came at you with the demonstration of the Spirit and power. Jesus confirming his word with signs following. See, as we do this, then people will get baptized. People will come to seek Christ because they see what's working. They just didn't see what was called good. They saw what was working. Jesus went about, come on, y'all, come on. He went about doing good. Healing. He did good for all. Do you think that some of the people that received their healing were people that had been given the testimony of they are not any good, they're not worthy of? I believe they had been, because you can see we got into that last week with the man that was set by the gate, the beautiful gate. They carried the man every day and dropped him off at the front while they went in and worshiped. I mean, you know, somebody help me. If you really have the man's best interest at heart, you would have done what what happened in Jesus' day. They went up on the man was crippled, and they went up on the roof, cut a hole in the roof, and let the man down in the middle of the man's house. Come on now. That was having the man's interest. You had the man, he was, if you would, he was dead weight. He couldn't help himself get up there. They had to lift him up on the roof. So that means minimally, it had to be 6 feet tall, all right? Because the people that walk in the room got to be smaller than the room, don't they? So the room's going to be bigger than them. So that means at least it had to be 6 foot tall. So that means they had to lift this man up 6 foot minimally. Then they had to tear up the roof and lower the man down. They were interested in the man. But here we go. They're going to bring him to the temple, put him outside, while they go in and worship, where all of the glory is being released. They left the man outside. Come on, y'all. Look at this picture. They left the man outside to beg. They didn't take the man inside where the glory was. So in our lives, just kind of think about some of the things. Did we teach them to observe all that he commanded us to do? When he first got here, he commanded that we would go out into the highways and byways and bring in the halt, the lame, the deaf, the blind. Come on, y'all. Help me out. See? He told them from the beginning, I want people that need a touch to be able to get to me. Don't leave them outside, and the only thing you're going to allow them to do is to beg. That's why when Peter and John saw that, they said, oh, no. We perceive that this man has faith to be healed. He wants a touch from God. He came here to get what he needed. But he was locked out by the religion of the day that said, you know what, you can't come in here. Stay outside. Do what you can under our judgment, because we don't think that you're worthy to come inside. I remember that I was learning about God and his love, and I had hurt my back. As a lifeguard, some children were playing in the pool, and they pushed me in my back, and it just popped. L4 and L5 just popped. Immediately you heard it. I felt it. I went in the water, and I couldn't move right then and there. I mean, it was immediate, and so I couldn't move. So I kind of just found a way to get to the top and get some air, and I went back down and fought a little bit, just my hands, and got to get some more air. And it was just a lovely thing to learn and see how attentive God was causing me to be to the situation. Is the children that pushed me into the pool, and they stopped everybody from playing in the pool because they knew that that's not what was supposed to be done. They went and got the help. They shut the pool down and said, hey, everybody out the pool. Something wrong with the lifeguard. And then they went to the office and told them that something was wrong with me, and the people in the office came and got me out the water. See, and I was learning that the sensitivity that God needs in the earth, because a little child, shall lead them. They didn't. Usually, if you mess up, you don't want to tell nobody you messed up. You're just going to let it just cover it up any way you can. No, they immediately stopped and took care of me. That was over Jesus. That was over 40 years ago. But I still remember it because God was teaching me things about his love. So then would you think that it would just be a real expression of love to leave the person on the outside not being able to receive a touch from God? He said, teach them to observe, and the Lord work with them with signs following. See, God wants us to flow in his glory. And we've been taught and have heard that, you know, God is stingy with his glory. And then I just want you to just to remember, because it says that he will not give his glory to another. And that's exactly what it says in Isaiah chapter 42, verse 8. It says that. But again, the Bible was written in one dissertation, not just chapter and verse. So he's not finished talking or speaking, because in the very next chapter, he continues to say in chapter 43, verses 1 through 7, which would be attached to chapter 42, verse 8. But now thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, he that formed thee, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed thee. I have called you by thy name. Thou art mine. When you pass through the waters, I'll be with you. When through the rivers, they shall not overflow thee. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burned. Neither shall a flame be kindled upon thee. For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom, Ethiopia and Sheba for thee, since thou wast precious in my sight. Thou hast been honored. Again, just so that you get this, we brought it up, but he said, you were precious in his sight. That's why you're honorable. Okay? And you got to remember, he's saying this to people that were stiff-necked and rebellious. God's the one that calls those things not as though they were. Okay? Because I have loved thee, therefore have I given me unto thee people for thy life. Fear not, I'm with thee. I will bring thy seed from the east and gather thee from the west. I will say to the north, give up to the south, keep not back. Bring my sons from afar, my daughters to the ends of the earth. Verse 7, highlight, underline, circle. Everyone that is called by my name. Why? For I have created him for my glory. I have formed him. I have made him. So you were created for the glory of God. He's not giving his glory to another. He's causing the glory to return to the one he gave it to. And he's calling every situation, circumstance that could separate you because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory. But he's calling you out of the sin, out of the bad thinking, out of the hurt emotions. He said, come from the west, the east, the north, and the south. From the ends of the earth. See? So that you were created for his glory, and that means that that's a place that contains and releases the glory. Amen. You were created for his glory. If you don't have a deposit of the glory cannot be released. Is that correct? You can get what they settled for in the Old Testament, which was a smearing. Okay? That's what the word anoint means. It means to smear, to loan, to share. Okay? But see, the New Testament dispensation, there was a filling glory to God, not just a smearing. Amen. It's a big difference. See, he because of salvation and not taking place, he could not abide in them because he would have destroyed them. His holiness would have caused us to be blown up. But because of the blood of Jesus and his redemption, now he can abide in us. That's just a whole lot better. I can now receive firsthand information. Glory to God. Okay, I'll do it better. I can now receive firsthand revelation. I don't even have to receive firsthand information. I can receive firsthand revelation. Because Jesus said the gates of hell will not prevail against firsthand revelation. Revelation from the Father. That's not a revelation that comes through five people. Amen. See, that's one of the reasons that God set this thing in motion and did it that way. See? So you were created to contain and release his glory. Because it's the glory that makes the difference. See? The glory is the thing that effects change. See? Don't you remember in the Lord's Prayer? It says, for thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. And Jesus told us, pray after this manner. So that you can receive. So that you can open up, walk into, investigate. The word glory is defined 156 times in the Bible as splendor, honor, reputation. I love this one. Properly weighted good. Ooh. Glory is properly weighted good. In other words, good that will balance out the bad, evil, and everything that comes against you. Because that glory is properly balanced. Takes everything back to its original intent. Do you see that? That's why in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, it says we have a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. It is properly balanced. There is no way that you can lose. You will always overcome the evil because this glory is properly balanced. It is, if you would, it is already guaranteed that the weight of the glory, the exceeding eternal weight of the glory that has been deposited on the inside of you will meet and overtake, more than a conqueror, everything the devil sets up for you. It is properly weighted. And so now what the devil has done is caused us to think that we can't approach the glory because he will share. Not, he won't, not going to share his glory with anybody else. See? So then we don't think that we can approach the glory. And if we did even find a way to approach it, it's not enough to overcome whatever the devil has set in front of us. But he said this glory is properly weighted good. That to me, that helps me to understand the same thing as in Lamentations chapter 3, verse 21, when he says that his mercy is new every morning. It is of thy mercies that we are not. Flip over there. That's really good. That's real good. I hadn't seen that, but that's just so good. Ecclesiastes, right behind Jeremiah. He was the one that was lamenting. Wow. See, we have to begin to approach the things of God from the right perspective. Verse 21, chapter 3. This is what I recall to my mind, and this is why I have hope. The word therefore is there because of what was previously stated. Therefore, this I recall to my mind because of this, that's why I have hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. See, properly weighted glory. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore, I will hope in him. It is good unto them. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. And it's good for a man to understand how to bear this yoke in his youth. It's good for you to get this from the beginning. See, it's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. I have been properly weighted with good. For any situation at any time, at any point in the situation, at any time, I have been properly weighted with good. And how do you overcome the evil? You overcome evil with good. That properly weighted portion, the Lord is my portion. And so because of that, my soul has hope. My soul rejoices. That's why he could say, there is no temptation taking you, but it's common to man. And God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be out of balance, but will make sure that you have a properly weighted portion of good. See? So we need to go and learn from what the Bible says. And I know some of the people that we've heard that taught us, you know, would make us think again, because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory. So then the glory can't work for you. Well, no, I'm sorry. Isaiah told me he formed me, made me, created me for this glory. Amen. See, I go back to its original intent, because I've been redeemed from the curse of the law.
He did not redeem me from some of it. He redeemed me from all of it. Because if anybody be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. Behold, old things are passed away, and know this, all things have become new, and all things are of God. Amen. Turn to that so you can see it again. I did take these are homework for you so you can go through and read it and get it for yourself. Turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. All I did is quoted it. Chapter 5, verse 17. It says, therefore, because of this, all of you, all of the things that you read about in the beginning of chapter 5, from chapter 3, yeah, from chapter 3 on, as a matter of fact, this whole thing from chapter 1 through chapter 5 is all connected, all through chapter 6 and 7. Yeah, there it is. Wow, that is true. I thought about something. I think about something he said in 7. But he says this in verse 17, because of those things that are connected, okay? Therefore, if any man, are you any man? He didn't say a special man. He didn't say a particular man. He said if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new, it didn't say he will be. It didn't say when he gets to heaven, this is what he's going to enjoy. He said, if any man be in Christ Jesus, he is perfect present tense, is a new man, a new creature. Old things are passed away. And look into this. That's what the word behold means. It means and behold. Okay, wait a minute. He says, if you are in Christ Jesus, you are a new creature. So would you please look at things from this perspective? Behold, look into the newness of life. Stop looking from the past, hurts, pains, frustrations, anxieties. If any man be in Christ Jesus, he is a new creature. And old things are passed away. And look into it, because all things are what? Become new. So, okay. Again, he uses the language to get us to understand that he knows about the growth process. He said, and things become new. All things become new. What does that mean? That there is growth available for you. The old ugly stuff that you just did 2 days ago, he said, I'm going to give you the opportunity to grow in it. But I don't know how to. That's right. They become new. See? So that's what we've got to know. It says, and then what else? And all things are of God. New creature, this is your thinking. Stop thinking about things from your past, because the things from your past are not the things that are of God. A lot of the things in your past were things that were of you. Amen. Don't be deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever man sows, that shall he also reap. So those things were of you. Amen. See? It says, and all things are of God, and then he has reconciled us to himself by Jesus. So the process, okay, did you just see that God took you out of the failure process right here? Behold, all things are become new. Okay? And all things are of God, who have reconciled us to himself by Jesus. You're just a recipient. You have nothing to do with the exchange. Jesus made, God made everything new, and Jesus presented us to him through what Jesus did. You were not part of the exchange. You were just the one that was the recipient. You get on the reward. and to himself by Jesus Christ, and because of this, he has given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. Okay, so we'll go back at this from this way. If you have not been reconciled, you cannot participate in the ministry of reconciliation. You might can participate in the prophetic word of reconciliation, but not the ministry of it, the giving of it. Amen. Have you know the Bible tells us that the laborer must first be partaker of the truth. See? So then if you haven't partaken of the reconciliation, you cannot minister the reconciliation. If you think you're just an old, ugly outfit, you just old sinner saved by grace, then you cannot minister the reconciliation because you haven't took part of it. Because when you took part of it, you were no longer a sinner. He said, and behold, all things are become new. Old things are past. Come on. We either have to believe what God said or keep dealing with the stuff that we've been dealing with all this time that hasn't been working. Amen. I mean, that's part of the challenge that we would have is we try to keep putting the new wine in old wineskins. That doesn't work for you. Well, one of the reasons, glory to God, just in understanding alone, not in application, this is just in understanding. If you go to an old wineskin and get wine out of the old wineskin, you remember what the old wine tasted like, what the old wine did, because it was in the old wineskin. So then your expectation is probably going to be low, isn't it? Because it's in the old wineskin. Boy, come on, y'all. See, one of the things that God has to get our minds renewed to is that he's not dealing with us according to Scripture. He does not deal with us according to our iniquities. Amen. Psalms 103. That's why it says, bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within thee. Forget not all his benefits. One of the benefits is that he heals all of my, that he does not deal with me after my transgressions. That's a benefit. So then that means I've got to stop going at the Spirit of God, the Word of God, and the love of God from my old, with an old wineskin mentality. Whatever I drink, partake of, is going to be slanted according to what I think is in that old wineskin because you bring your expectation with you. Amen. You bring your expectation with you. That's why Jesus had to ask people, what did you want? What do you need me to do? That my son might be, so then your expectation is that when you leave here, you will have a healed son. He had to awaken them so that they can get their, what they were expecting to, up to a different level. He had to ask that question. Because as you believe, so be it unto you. That's what he would tell them. Whatever your expectation is, that's the level of your receiving. But if you believe that it can't happen, then your level of expectation is in the wrong place for Jesus to do what you want him to do. See? So he's going to always open up the opportunity to expand you. Oh, glory to God. That's one of the things, again, that's the challenge, because we keep thinking that the exchange system that God has is exactly equal, and it's never equal. It's more than enough, okay? That's what we've seen that three or four times today, haven't we? Because it is by his mercy you are not consumed. And that when you have your hope and trust in him, then you'll be able to receive the greater because his mercy is there. See, I mean, we've got to begin to expand. Yesterday, he trained them this way. Yesterday's manna was not good tomorrow. Amen. So then, since it wasn't, why are we still trying to go and get sustenance from yesterday's miracle? Yes, it was a great miracle. Amen. Rejoice in that. Praise for that. But have greater expectation today because this is the day that the Lord has made, and we'll be glad and rejoice in this day. because the Lord daily loads us down with benefits. See, that's not a position of greed. That's an expanded heart that is now able to receive more of the things that God wants to confirm in my life. The healing that I receive today opens up my potential for tomorrow. But if I'm only going to function on my healing that I received yesterday, then I'm always walking backwards in the things of God. Because my healing for today opens up my expectancy for tomorrow. So that if I just am stuck in my healing of yesterday, I didn't prepare for my today. Therefore, my tomorrow is not going to have anything. This is the day the Lord has made. Rejoice in this day. Okay, we'll slow that one down. Rejoice in this day. So then I can build on yesterday, but I'm supposed to rejoice today. Did he not tell me in Isaiah chapter 1 verse 12 that with joy I'm supposed to receive out of the well of salvation, draw out of the well of salvation? With joy, rejoice in the Lord always. See? We need to go the dispensation that we are in. We need to go deeper and higher, more expansive in God. He's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or think. So then we need to allow the thought to grow to become exceeding abundant above all. Because as soon as I think it, he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above that. And as soon as I think that, he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above that. He wants to increase you more and more. See? He wants you to be able to overcome. He wants you to be able to overcome evil with good. He does not want you to meet the evil with the good. He wants you to have more than enough to deal with the evil. Amen. So we've got to begin to expand, open up, stretch forth. Isaiah 54, stretch forth our curtains. Go to a place that's bigger. Allow El Shaddai to abide in a greater capacity. Because El Shaddai means the God that is more than enough. Not the God that's barely enough. Not the God that you hope will be enough. He's the God that's more than enough. See? This is how we flow. Okay, wow. This is how you flow in the glory. You flow in it. And the way I understand a flow, just to think about, a flow is different from a drip. A drip might just be absorbed in the ground. A drip might just stand alone on a hard surface. But in order to go to a flow, I have to have perpetual supply. So then, okay, a flow can be as small as a stream, or as mighty as a river. Well, we'll even go to an ocean. An ocean, wow, that's good, sir. You can see a stream's flow a little quicker than you can see the flow of an ocean that's not disturbed. If you got irritated waves, yeah, you can see that. But the ocean is flowing even when you can't see it. Amen. Because they have what they call undercurrents. See? And it's moving even then. but it's moving at, with the ability to do things under the surface where you can't even see. When you're in a tsunami situation, I get that. That's Isaiah chapter 59:19. That says when the enemy comes in, like a flood, the Spirit of God will raise up a standard. So, yeah, there is a flood stage. Got that. That's a good thing to have that in my beck and call. I got that. But there's a flow that happens undisturbed. Because that's what Isaiah 54 says, verse 13, that your children will be taught of the Lord, and they shall have great peace and undisturbed composure. Yeah. See? So there's a place that God is wanting us to function in. That my peace is not disturbed, but my surroundings are ever changing because of my peace that is not disturbed. Don't you remember that the peace of God is going to bruise Satan under your heel shortly? Romans 16:20. Notice it said the peace of God. That's not the agitated place of God. That's that ocean that's moving that has a bunch of weight behind its motion, but you're not even observing it. To us, it almost looks calm, placid, but it's still moving. See? So then, with that being the case, that's the way God is inviting us into a place of security and confidence in Him. That I ain't got to go splashing around, hollering and screaming. I can get things done by the peace of God. Oh, I mean, that just really blessed me, y'all. Isn't Jesus referred to as the Prince of Peace? Amen. See, He can calm storms, no problem. But He still brings peace to bear on the situation. Because peace will bruise Satan under your heel. There is a peace that passes your understanding. See, when we begin to renew our mind and hear that, first of all, there was an invitation made for us to go to the place of this glory. That invitation was your salvation. But then there's the glory of sanctification, going from glory to glory. There's a glory of confirmation and validation. Because God, Jesus works with His word to bring everything that you say according to His word to pass, to confirmation. If you abide in Him and His words abide in you, then you will ask what you will and it'll be given you. See, that's a place of validation and confirmation. There is a glory of exaltation. Remember that God said, this is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye Him. That was a glory of exaltation. And yes, God says those same things about you. Amen. You know, Samuel did not even have the Spirit of God abiding. It was only an anointing. And the Bible says that God did not let any of Samuel's words fall to the ground. Glory to God. And you've been called to a greater covenant based on greater promises. Amen. See? So you go from glory to glory. There's a glory of friends. But God didn't stop you with the glory of friends. He allowed you to be brother. Romans chapter 8 says that we are sons, and then if sons, heirs, then joint heirs. See, because He didn't leave you as a friend. He didn't leave you as a brother. He called you unto sonship. See, and the whole earth in Romans 8 again says that they're waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. This is the invitation that He's brought you into so that He can display His glory through you. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Let's just go on and end it there. But I'm hoping that you're getting something out of this. Because, I mean, it's reminding me of all of the goodness of God that again, makes me stand up and walk uprightly. Because when we stand up and walk uprightly, he said he will not withhold any good thing from those that walk uprightly. So I can change everything that's happening in my life by the position of my heart and how I walk in truth. He said he has no greater joy than to know that his children walk in truth. I mean, it would be one thing to stand in it. That's all right. But he said that we should walk in it. In other words, there should be motion. I should be going from glory to glory, not from trouble to trouble. I should not be standing in trouble. He made me to move. This too shall pass. It did not come to stay. It came to pass. Romans chapter 8, starting at verse 17, which I just quoted. Start at verse 16. Okay, let's go ahead. But I'm going to keep backing up. Starting at verse 14. I'm not going no further back. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear. Please note that. You have not received that spirit. Anything that ties you up, causes you to be inoperative, that's not the spirit God called you to. Okay, come on. Let's dig into that. Wow, Lord. He said he didn't call you into a spirit that's going to bind you up. You've been called into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. Come on, y'all. Please see that. You have not been called to be stalled. Amen. You will not receive the spirit of bondage again. You've not received that spirit where you can't move, can't do nothing, that everything looks like and seems to be impossible. You have not been called to that. That's not the spirit he gave you. See, when he made you a son, notice this. Those that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God who did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear. He gave you a spirit that will cause you to understand and function in faith, function in love, because faith works by love. He called you into peace, because that peace takes you past what you can understand. So then when the peace of God shows up and it goes beyond what you understand, that means I no longer have to look at it, because even if I looked at it, I will not understand it. I have a peace that goes past that. Why should I stop at just what I understand or what I see when I've been given the right to enjoy the peace that takes me past that? How many of you wanted to have an inheritance that was $100 inheritance? I believe all of us would want to pass the $100 inheritance. Nothing wrong with the first $100, but I would like to pass that. I would like for my, which the inheritance is supposed to take care of my future. My inheritance is not supposed to take care of my one day. Glory to God. My inheritance is supposed to take care of my children and my children's children. A good man leaves an inheritance for his children's children. God, being a good man, does not just try to take care of my one day. He wants to take care of my life and my children's life and my children's children's life. So he's not interested in just one day. Or he's not just interested in a mistake, an accident that happens once. He's trying to produce through my life perpetual motion, going from glory to glory. That's a flow of his glory. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For we have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but we've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, First Daddy, Abba Father. The Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, watch this processional. You see, you go from one state of glory to another. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and then joint heirs with Christ. You see how it gets bigger, bitter, bigger, bitter, bigger and better every time. It went from children to heirs, from heirs to joint heirs. So there should be a growing in the flow. Things that you thought about as a child, then when you understand that you are an heir, one that has responsibility, come on, that's what an heir would be, one that has responsibility to execute. See, a child might just enjoy, that's all. But an heir becomes one that has the ability to execute. Amen. They get to enjoy on purpose. And then you go from an heir to being a joint heir. Not only an heir might have the ability to execute, a joint heir has the ability to release into other people's lives, not just for his, but now other people. Because love, as has been stated, is not love until you give it away. For God so loved that he gave. See? So then if my love only takes care of me, I've not understood that I'm supposed to go from an heir to a joint heir to do what Jesus did, to fulfill what Jesus did. And Jesus went to all, whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord, so that we may suffer with him. Why do we need to suffer with him? So that we also may be glorified together. So don't tell me about this suffering is just bad, bad, bad. No, the suffering is a short phase to take me to glory. I didn't write it. I didn't write it. Please read it again. He says that if so be we suffer, if so be we suffer, that we may also be glorified together. So my suffering had an outcome. If my suffering is just going to be perpetual for no reason, then I didn't read my Bible. My suffering should take me to the place of being glorified together. And he says, because I reckon, I think, I believe, I understand that the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Please circle the word in. It did not say through us or to us. It said in us. So that means I've got to partake of it then, don't I? If it's going to be revealed in me. Amen. See? So I can't sell the glory short. Said it's not even worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestations of the sons of God. See, it's waiting for us to be there. Okay, let's do it this way. Come on. So, there are things that you need to call into the earth, because as a son, as a joint heir, that understands that the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein, I can then release what's necessary in my life as a joint heir. And things that have not even been seen before can come to the place of manifestation through my obedience and understanding of God. Because the whole creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of glory, the sons of God. Before someone discovered uranium, uranium was in the earth. Okay, I'll back that up to it again. Before someone discovered uranium, uranium was in the earth. Before someone discovered diamonds, diamonds were in the earth. What am I saying? That the thing that God wants to release through you, the hidden thing that belongs to you, that as you walk as an heir by commanding the word of God accurately, those things that are hid in the earth, God will release them, bring them forth, because the whole creation is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. They will release their offering to a son. All right. Oil was hidden in the ground. Sons of God went and got it out. You go back and think about those four rivers that was in the Garden of Eden. It said they had one of them, that there was gold at the river. There were stones at the river. There was a gummy surface, a substance at the river. And there is a river. The streams thereof make glad the people of God. And the whole creation is groaning, waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. Notice, it's not waiting for the manifestation of those that want to rape the earth. It's waiting for the manifestation of sons that will protect the earth, that will cause the earth to release as an offering to God. There's enough hidden resource in God to cause riches beyond measure in your life. A son will be able to inherit that, to cause that to come to manifestation. So then that tells me that there should be no reason for us to suffer and be without funds when God's waiting for us to become sons so that the earth will release its treasures. And those treasures do not have to come in raw form, okay? That's just one way of him doing it. Watch this. We'll do it this way. I'm sure all of you have bought a bottle of water. It wasn't hidden. Three-fourths of the earth is water. Someone got the understanding of how to take out of the sea that which he can sell for more than $2 a bottle. Didn't make nothing. Didn't create a thing, but they're making a living, an income that will bless their children's children. Because sons will be able to get out of the earth the things that are necessary. We have greater technology to turn things around quicker. So then we should be seeking God of how to become a more accurate son, how to function in the flow of his glory, so his glory can cause things that are needed in my life to come to pass with ease. The choice is yours. Your way or God's way? Will you tap into the flow of his glory and thereby causing all of the issues that were hard in your life to be answered and removed? Or will you continue to frustrate the grace of God, stumbling as one that does not have a covenant, that one that does not have promise, waiting on God to do what he's already said is finished for you? Your way or God's way? God's waiting on you. Father, we just thank you and praise you for your word that causes us to open our understanding by meditating in your word so that you can teach us how to effectively be sons that will bring culmination not only to your soon coming return, but to the end of all frustrations in our personal lives, because we're following the God that's more than enough. We give you praise for that, sir. We give you glory and honor. Committing it to you is done in the matchless name, Jesus Christ of Nazareth, who is Lord and Savior. The redeemed, the Lord said together, amen. Amen. Well, as always at this time, we open up the program
If you have any questions, any comments about the ministry today, we'll give you a chance to voice that. And if not, then we just thank you for being a part of the ministry tonight. And if this has been a blessing to you, and the Lord lays it on your heart to sow into the ministry, then you can go to livedeliverance.com and look for the donate tab. And there, be obedient to the Lord and sow a seed into this ministry, because we are here for you at your behest through the obedience that you offer to the Lord in tithes, gifts, and offerings. So until the next time that we get together, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up the countenance of his face upon you and give you his peace. Until the next time, shalom.